26 before.
Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Here we are in the countdown to Election Day. And if you're doing early voting or voting by absentee ballot or will go into the voting booth on November 3rd, it's important to reflect on something that Archbishop Charles Shep Hugh said, and we're quoting here. We're Catholics before we're Democrats. We're Catholics before we're Republicans. We're even Catholics before we're Americans, because we know that God has a demand on up. Priority to any government demands on us. God has a demand on us prior to any government demand. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has resources to help you vote. Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, a call to political responsibility, is available at usccb.org. And Father Timothy Graff is with us right now, the director of the Social Concerns Office and the director of government relations for the Archdiocese of Newark, joining us this morning to give you some guidance that you may need to vote with a clear conscience. Father Graff, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, John. It's good to be with you.
The title of this segment is Why the Catholic Church Doesn't Endorse Candidates, because that is really the genesis of the title of this segment is based on a lot of email we get from Relevant Radio listeners who want to know why the Catholic Church is not more involved in the political process.
Well, I think we're very involved in the political process. We may not be involved in the political process the way people want us to be. So I think one of the easiest things to say is, okay, tell me who to vote for.
Right.
But the church doesn't do that. What the church does is it says you need to form your conscience so that you can make the right decision that you think God is calling you to. Now, certainly it'd be much easier if the Sunday before the election, the pastor stood up and said, okay, vote for this person for president, this person for Senate. But that's not what the church does. Right. You know, the church never endorses a candidate, because we're never going to find a perfect candidate who agrees with us on everything. And also what we do is we trust each of us, each of the faithful, to make the right choice for them. So what the church tries to do is the church tries to guide people in the way to make the right choices when they're facing an election, when they're facing issues that they need to make decisions on.
The church does have authority in political matters, and that's when the politics invade church teaching. And that's why we hear about issues of life, because now we're talking about territory in the realm of the eternal.
Yeah, you know, I often get accused. People say, oh, Father, you're just getting involved in politics. I'm not involved in politics. I'm involved in morality.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to take the teaching of the church and say, what does this say to the social issues of the day? What does this say about the life issues? What does the church say about the environment? What does church teaching teach us about poverty? You know, so it's not so much politics, but morality. I'm dealing with morality within the political sphere, because that's where we vote. That's where we live, you know, and that's where we find ourselves so often.
Do we need to, as a church in general, and you standing up there in the pulpit, and I understand what you have to do in a homily and what the ingredients are in a homily, but especially in an election season, should you educate a little bit more on Catholic tradition that has led to this free and just and beautiful society that we live in, so you can help us connect the dots?
Yeah, I think that is important, you know, and I think the clearest guide that we have in America is what you talked about at the beginning of the segment, you know, the forming consciousness for faithful citizenship. You know, and that can be done in a number of ways. It's very hard to squeeze everything into the homily. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm dealing with people who are passionate about a certain issue, you know, so, well, you know, we're not talking enough about this, that, or the other thing. You know, well, it's not my task to tell people how to look at every issue. But my task is to say, this is what's important.
Right.
You know, and this is how we can look at things. And this is how the church calls us to do that. So I think one of the greatest things, one of the most helpful things that people can do, is to go on the Bishops' Conference's website, usccb.org. And there you can find the document, Forming Consciousness for Faithful Citizenship, and it's a wonderful summary not only of how to form your conscience, but also the different issues that people face every day. You know, what are the issues that we're looking at in this election cycle and really every election cycle? You know, and what's the clarity of church teaching on that? Because I think sometimes we don't know enough, or we don't know what it is that brought the church. Why does the church teach what she teaches about this, that, or the other thing? You know, and it's the application of, you know, our teaching, our beliefs, our foundational aspects, whether it's the dignity of the human person, whether it's the right of people to work, all those things that influence how it is that we think about the social issues of the day.
Father, neither party follows church teaching perfectly, and in light of that, I know the bishops have talked a little about this too, but if you would too speak to the primacy of some issues in their weight, like the life issue.
Sure. You know, certainly as you read the document, it says very clearly, you know, not all issues have the same weight. You know, certainly the life issues are called the preeminent, you know, the most important. But the temptation that we can face, and it's a very easy thing to look into, to fall into, is that we become focused on a single issue. Sometimes we see that in life issues. In my work, I see it in dealing with immigration or addiction or environmental justice. You know, and that's the only issue that they see everything to. You know, and then, you know, as the document says, as Catholics, we are not single issue voters. A candidate's position on a single issue is not sufficient to guarantee a voter's support. You know, we need to look at all the issues, yes, with their different weights, but at the same time, you know, we need to say, what is it that overall we can look at in terms of our support or non-support of a candidate? You know, as the bishops quote Pope Francis, you know, in the introduction to the document, he says, you know, that holiness requires a firm and passionate defense of the innocent unborn. At the same time, he also describes equally sacred the lives of the poor, those already born, the destitute, the abandoned, the underprivileged, the vulnerable, infirm, and elderly, exposed to covert euthanasia, the victims even trafficking new forms of slavery, and every form of rejection. Meaning that we need to look at, say, okay, what is it that we judge this candidate upon? Is it just this single issue? Or is it looking at all the issues that we're called to look at, even with the different weight, for lack of a better term, that we would give to the different issues? But we can't just look at one person, at one issue, and say that's the reason we're going to support and not support someone.
Thank you for that good answer, Father. Last election cycle, I heard a homily that spoke of the need to look at issues and policies, not necessarily personalities. And we don't have to think very hard to see where that might come into play again.
Yes, I think, you know, we can, part of the determination of who we vote for is the person's character. You know, just because we agree with them on most issues, we also need to look at the character of the person. You know, because it's not simply, we're not simply voting for a computer that's going to enact policies that we agree or not agree with, but it's also the character of the person who's carrying it out. You know, if a person's character is questionable in one way or another, then that needs to be part of the determination, you know, of giving someone, you know, the very sacred duty that I have of a vote. You know, just because we support someone on a variety of issues does not mean that we need to vote for them if we have questions about their character or how it is that they live out their lives.
If you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about voting with a clear and an informed conscience. Our conversation with Father Timothy Graff, who is the director of the Social Concerns Office and the director of government relations in the Archdiocese of Newark. It was almost 4 years ago. It was a cool October morning. Then Archbishop Joseph Tobin came from Indianapolis, and there he was standing on the altar of the Cathedral Basilica of the Sacred Heart, being introduced as the incoming Archbishop of Newark. And he said in October of 2016 that we have to stop being red Catholics and blue Catholics. we just have to be Catholics. And that's a very salient point today in 2020. How do you put that genie back in the bottle?
Well, I think it calls us to step back. You know, to step back from that which we hold passionately within our consciences. And to really approach, you know, our vote, to approach this election cycle influenced by our faith. You know, what is it that, and how is it that the gospel informs my conscience? What is it that I, after I pray and think and learn and study, how is it that I think my faith can call me to support this candidate or the other? You know, it's really a sacred duty. You know, this is very important. I know so often when I'm working with friends within immigrant communities, one of the things they most look forward to when they're finally granted citizenship is the right to vote. You know, is the gift of voting, is the gift to be part of a democracy. You know, and we cannot allow our faith to be outside of that. You know, I'm not Republican first or Democrat first, I'm a Catholic first. As, you know, Archbishop Chaput was quoted in the beginning of the segment. You know, it's not that my being a Republican or a Democrat influences my faith. It really should be the other way around. You know, my faith allows me to agree or disagree with a particular political party, you know, or a particular candidate. You know, and so it's knowing church teaching and why the church teaches it, because that's often something that we're lacking. You know, I know that the church is against abortion. Well, why is the church against abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the dignity of every person. Because we believe that life begins at conception, not at birth. You know, and all those things that allow us to know a bit deeper, rather than just saying, well, I know this, but the church teaches. Well, why is the church teaching? What's behind that? You know, and when we know that, we're not only able to discuss it better with other people, but we're also better informed ourselves about the moral and political choices that we're called to make.
Father, can it be a sin to vote for a certain candidate?
This is fairly, there's a distinction made in the document Forming Consciences. And it says, the only time we can get in trouble, you know, the only time we can sin is if we look at a candidate who stands for something that's intrinsically evil, and we're voting for them because of their support for that. An example, if we had a candidate who was racist and just said, you know, this is what I believe, and I believe people are inferior, different races, and all those things. If racism is seen as something that's gravely evil, morally evil, then we cannot vote for that person because of that choice. Historically, it might be, going back to the presidential election of 68, when George Wallace was running as a third-party candidate, and he certainly had racist views. If someone voted for him because of those racist views, that could be seen as sinful, because they're supporting for someone who is supporting something that's what we see as gravely evil. You know, if someone is supporting abortion and you're voting for them because of their support for abortion, if you're voting for someone because of their views on genocide or whatever, you know, whatever those moral issues are, which are enumerated within the document, that's where we get into moral evil.
We'd be devil's advocate here. You're saying, all right, Father, you're asking me to be discerning, but I'm busy. It's, you know, it's easier for the television, the radio, or, you know, those campaign commercials or what I see on social media to help me make up my mind. How do we have to answer for this in front of God?
Well, I think we need to answer before God as we would before any moral choices that we make. You know, I make moral choices every day. I make a moral choice to gossip about a person or not. I make a moral choice about whether to slander someone or not. And so I stand before God because, you know, I do things that are wrong. I sin. So in a similar way, we're going to stand before God for the moral choices that we make. You know, and so for something as important as voting, you know, it's a sacred right. I want to make that choice as best I can, and I don't want to be lazy with that. You know, I don't want to be lazy and saying, well, you know, it's just easier to do this or that. It's just easier to vote the party line. Well, as we stand before God with any moral choices, so too we stand before God with that moral choice. You know, and so it's something that we need to take seriously because it's such an important part of our democracy. And so I want to form my conscience in a right way to make those choices.
Father, for their position on certain issues, should a candidate be denied communion?
Whenever we're talking about the denial of the sacraments, I always hate when that's done publicly. You know, it's almost that communion becomes a weapon. You know, and when we read canon law, when we come to an understanding of that, that's really done personally between the pastor and the person. You know, I know I've done that in reconciliation with people, but it's not a public. I don't think it's a public way of looking at things. You know, that's not how we deal with things as Catholics. You know, we don't want our sins on the front page of the paper. You know, and so I think it's handled best when it's handled in a personal way between the pastor, which is often the bishop of the diocese, and the person themselves. You know, I think that's the best way to deal with it, because otherwise, you know, as we say, you know, the Eucharist becomes a weapon, which I don't think serves the Church very well.
As Archbishop Shep Hugh said, we're Catholics before we're Democrats, we're Catholics before we're Republicans. And again, as we discern, as we head into the voting booth, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has the resources to help you before your vote, and that's called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, a guide to political responsibility. That is available at usccb.org, usccb.org. Father Timothy Graff is the director of the Social Concerns Office and the director of government relations in the Archdiocese of Newark. Father, thank you so much for your guidance this morning. God bless.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Homily highlights of Fresh Glen Story Corner. Next, it's 9 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The U.S. Catholic bishops have stated, the threat of abortion remains our preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself, because it takes place within the sanctuary of the family, and because of the number of lives it destroys. Hi, this is Father Rich Simon, and Father Simon says, let's continue to ask Our Lady's intercession and pray for an end to abortion in our country and the protection of human life from the moment of conception to natural death. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Add your memorares to the tally at relevantradio.com/mom.
You can come to me at any time.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, in Krakow, Poland, in 1938, the Lord Jesus gave a 3-day retreat on the subject of spiritual warfare to a young Polish sister of mercy by the name of Faustina Kowalska. I'll share what the Lord personally revealed about the tactics of the evil one and how you can best protect yourself. Be sure and join me for that and more. The show begins at 2 Central, right here on Relevant Radio and on our mobile app.